Welcome to the Once Upon a Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast with your hosts, Josh Kimmel, Dave Campbell, and Justin Bowerly.
Welcome to Once Upon a Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Josh. With me, Justin, Dave. Dave's here. Hey, guys. Dave's here. He showed up.
I'm back, baby.
He's back. He's ready for vengeance. He's ready to talk some starts and sits of the week. It is December 20th, 5 days before Christmas. Or is it four? Is it four?
Five.
Have we watched Die Hard yet?
No.
Stop. We can have this debate if you want.
We're not having this debate right now. I have no ambition because I have not watched Die Hard yet either. I plan
it's a
on
Christmas
it.
Movie, right?
Stop. I need you guys to stop.
Stop, Justin. I know. I see what you're doing.
It's 24.
Nope,
it's a Christmas movie.
Stop.
Why is that not a Christmas movie, but The Nightmare Before Christmas is?
For the record,
what's the
it literally has Christmas in the name.
They take place, The Nightmare Before Christmas is Christmas Eve. Die Hard is
Josh
Christmas
knows where this
Eve.
Is about to go.
First off,
just because the date
this.
Says no. It's on Christmas Eve doesn't mean it's a Christmas movie.
Guys, it's a Christmas movie. Let's move on.
Not,
I have no time
okay.
for this tonight. I want to talk fantasy football before we lose more viewers, before we get more comments about how Die Hard is. But seriously,
I hope we got smart people in the comments that say it's
not. Comment down below if you think Die Hard's a Christmas movie like we and Justin do. Or if you don't, then comment that as well. Let us know why, because I don't know. Christmas movie, Christmas theme. I'm not dealing with it.
You're anyway. Not going to believe the text that I just got from someone that said Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. People are dumb. Literally 2 seconds after we just started the show.
I love it.
It's amazing.
Thanks for listening.
Josh knows
thanks for watching.
Josh knows the person that texts me. It's so funny.
Of course I do. Of course I know the person. So and that person's, I'm not going to say anything bad about my listeners and viewers. So love you all. Let's get right into the plugs real quick. Everyone be quiet. Follow us on Twitter, X, Instagram, TikTok, at OUSFFpod. Make sure you follow our YouTube page as well, OUSFFpod. That's where you can find all of our shorts. If you don't have time to watch a full 45 to 50-minute video, I understand. That's why Justin cuts them up into shorts, and you can go ahead and pick and choose who you want to watch and what you want to watch. Bye, Dave. Make sure you follow us on X as well, OUSFFpod, if I didn't say that, at VikingDave18, at Josh Kimmel, OUS, and at Justin Bowerly. Guys, before we get into the starts and sits of the week, I have a question for you. I'm going to steal a gimmick from the fantasy footballers, the quick question of the day. What is the most difficult thing you've ever wrapped for Christmas? A present, a gift.
So that would assume that I wrapped the presents for my kids.
That would assume that you think I'm a terrible rapper.
Drop some bars, Justin.
Not that kind of rapper. I wanted to come up with another joke, but dang, I didn't want to come up with that one. Most difficult thing, I had to wrap a giant stuffed animal, like a giant stuffed animal bear thing. I mean, literally, probably it was like a 50 pounder.
Not
it took up so much wrapping paper.
You wasted a whole tree, Dave. I was going to say, Dave, I know for a fact you don't do crap for Christmas, and I appreciate that. I wish I was more like you in life.
If I do, it's gift bag. That's, I'm going gift bag all the way.
I wrap all of our stuff. So it's I've done that. I like my parents got me or my mom got me wrapping like at a very early age to the point where like I was wrapping my own Christmas presents. Didn't even know it. So that sucked.
I wrap my own stuff too. My wife doesn't help me with that, but I do wrap everything. And I bring this up because I bought a chair, a fully built chair from Target yesterday.
How can you even wrap that?
That's what I'm saying. What am I supposed to do?
You can't. You put a bow on. That's when you put a bow on it. That's all you can do. Like, let's be smart here. You're over. Yes. If you're trying to wrap that, you're stupid.
I'm wrapping it. I'm posting on Twitter and Instagram. You guys are gonna see the results. It's gonna.
I want to see that.
I'm a huge fan of like wrapping it exactly the way it like comes.
Yo, like in the office.
That's what I'm like. That's exactly like, what I'm gonna do.
My nephew's like birthday presents. I wanted to wrap like I wanted to put it all together and then wrap it up. And my wife was just like, "No, give it to him in the box. What are you doing?" I'm like, "But then you have to take the box, everything out of the box. Then you have to set it up. I'd rather just set it up. So as soon as he rips, he's 2 years old. As soon as he rips it apart, you can start playing with it.
Exactly. All right. Enough Christmas talk, enough wrapping top. We're here for fantasy football. We are a fantasy football podcast that strictly talks about fantasy. So we have our starts and sits of the week, and we're going to get right into it. We'll start off with the quarterbacks like we always do. We have two intriguing matchups, two super studs, one coming back from injury and has only played a few games, and one who's been just a robot, the best quarterback of all time. I was wrong about him. I traded him for anything I could this offseason, and I was wrong, wrong, wrong. Brock Purdy versus Kyler Murray. Purdy's going against Baltimore. We have Kyler Murray going against Chicago. Dave, who are we starting this week? It seems pretty simple to me, but I want to hear your opinion.
Purdy, easily. I have Kyler, and he's had a couple of decent games, but that offense isn't that good. They're not moving the ball great. Kyler's been okay, but Purdy's been awesome, and I don't care that they're playing Baltimore. Purdy's been amazing. That, I mean, it's just honestly to me, it's that simple. I'm riding the hot train. He's got the weapons everywhere. I'm going with the superstar, Brock Purdy.
Yeah, Purdy's been unbelievable. Let me throw some stats out there for you. Number one in yards per attempt, 9.9, which is incredible, insane. Number one in red zone completion percentage. Number one in clean pocket percentage. Number one in play action percentage. Number one in deep ball percentage. Number one in passing touchdowns. What is happening to the NFL? Why did so many people miss on this kid? He is just truly incredible. Or is it a thing where he just has everyone around him? Debo, IU, Kittle, CMC. It's so hard to fail with the ultimate weapons that he has around him. Not many young rookies or second-year players or third-year players coming into an offense where you have a legit all-star team around you. It's just like putting the if Zach Wilson was around this, would he mess this up?
Yes.
Well,
he can't get Garrett Wilson the ball, so yes. I'm sorry. And Brees Hall, like, let's not act like, okay. I mean, okay. It is a different team, different scheme, but yes, Zach Wilson would mess
up. Whatever. I'm not going to say anyone else on the, if they can mess it up, but geez, Brock Purdy has been just incredible. I'm starting him this week over Kyler Murray, although I'm a huge Kyler fan. He just hasn't really been getting it done. The lowest points per game since 3 years, 17.7 points per game. That's not that great. But they are playing Chicago. They do give up some passing yards, only 239, but Kyler makes up for it on the ground, averaging 31 yards a game on the ground. I do like Kyler. If you have, you know, some bad matchups with the other quarterbacks, you did hold on to Kyler, but Purdy has just quarterback 4 on the year. Just unreal. Did not see this coming. Nobody did. I don't want to hear it. Nobody saw this coming. Nobody. Justin, what about you?
I'm going Purdy too. When I'm looking at this, a lot of people will say Purdy is only as good as all of his weapons because he can throw the 2 yard ball and then they run it for 60 yards. But that's what we're here for fantasy for. Like, fantasy points are fantasy points, no matter how you get them. So I'm going with Purdy and his like 2 air yards every play and
stop
the 20 points. I mean,
stop. He's number one. I didn't put this on my list either, but he is number one in deep ball passing completion percentage as well.
He's like second in passing yards this year, but like 32nd in attempts this year, which is pretty incredible.
It's pretty efficient. It makes you think that it's not going to last throughout his entire career, but you never know with players coming and going and schemes changing. The one thing I want to say about Baltimore is they are shut down on defense, especially in the secondary. Herbert, when he was healthy, was a quarterback 15 when they played him just 4 weeks ago. Last week against Lawrence, held him to one touchdown, quarterback 21 on the year. Lawrence hasn't really been special this year anyway, but the fact that they shut him down as well. But there was an outlier. Week 14, Stafford went off. He was quarterback 5 against Baltimore, so it can be done. Stafford just did it with Kupp and Puka and all those guys over there. Easily, Purdy can be the man and win you this week. Is that it? We're done with quarterbacks?
That's it.
Dave, simple S, as we like to say. Let's move on to
who's opening the candy. That's what I want to know, because if that was me, y'all be cussing me out.
Candy. I just crumpled up my notes.
Oh, okay. Maybe it was notes. Then. I thought someone was opening candy and I'm here for it.
You know where I got this from? You know where I got this from? Back in the day when I was a mark for like sports radio, I listened to Jim Rome a lot. And he'd always, when he opens his email, like, I don't know if you guys watch Jim Rome. Yeah, he's like, dear Jim. Or, you know, and he'd just read the whole thing. And then afterwards, he'd be like, shh. And then that's where I get the gimmick from, guys. I apologize.
You're a thief. It's okay. We all are.
Anyway, next guys, we have receivers. I always go to receivers, Justin. You know that. Gosh.
Ooh.
Yeah, T. Higgins versus Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh. Stephon Diggs versus the Chargers seems like a get right game for Stephon Diggs. I opened up with Dave last time. Justin, I need to know who we starting in this disaster of a matchup.
So this one's tough because if you look at the stuff, they look very, very similar. Diggs has had a rough couple of weeks, minus the 1 week in Philly. He hasn't scored over 10 points since week 9, again, other than the week in Philly, like a month ago. Going up against the Chargers, who just fired their head coach. We all know what that means. It means they might actually play football now. They might be good. Who knows? T. Higgins is now wide receiver 1 for the next couple of weeks.
On his team.
On his team.
You gotta clarify that, all right?
We're just clipping it right there. T. Higgins, wide receiver 1. He had 22 points against Minnesota. Now it's going up against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is trash. There's no way they're gonna make the playoffs. All this long talk. You want to say Diggs, but I'm gonna say Higgins. I want to say Diggs. I want Diggs to do well. Yeah. But I'm going to say Higgins.
I should have went with the guy with the Diggs framed jersey in the background. Diggs is GOAT. Are you benching Diggs, Dave?
Not for T. Higgins. I'm not. And listen, I watched the game last week. Higgins had two ridiculous catches. Both were touchdowns. He just out-jumped. The Vikings DBs are just standing there looking like idiots. And he just mossed them twice and scored touchdowns. I think it was the third quarter, and he had no catches. And fourth quarter, he just came alive. So good for him. You know, whatever. What's his face was smart throwing it up. I know there's gonna be no Chase, and I definitely see a path to like Higgins having a pretty decent to good game. That being said, I'm just not gonna bench Diggs for Higgins. I don't trust Higgins. He hasn't done anything all year long. So he's been super inconsistent. I get, you know, all of those things are happening. I'm still gonna go with Diggs. Just, I don't know. Chargers aren't good. I think he's a better player. All of those things. Ooh. He's due for a big game. I just trust him more than Higgins, to be honest.
Tiebreaker.
Beta male Dave. I don't know what that means, Ronald. That's not very nice. For all you people that are viewing the show, I don't know what Ronald McDonald's going on. Are you calling Dave a beta?
I think that's okay. What he's saying.
You know
that's
what they say? Haters gonna hate, like my girl Taylor.
They hate us because they ate us. They peanut butter jelly. Anyway, we got T. Higgins over here, one of my loves, one of my most rostered dynasty player. Number one, I roster him in more leagues than anyone else, and he's been driving me crazy all year. I'm so glad that he helped me win my consolation matchup last week. I know that joke's been said multiple times, but I'm really glad he decided to show up. Listen, the facts are, I do want to bring out the stat real quick, just because my love for Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy is wide receiver 54 right now on the season. T. Higgins is wide receiver 53. T. Higgins has played 3 less games than Jerry Jeudy, and T. Higgins has a couple zeros in his roster. Dude, Jerry Judy's such a bum. I just wanted to say that. He can't even keep up with him, a T. Higgins, an injured player. T. Higgins has had 8 or more targets in only 5 games this season, not counting week 1 where the big zero, where he started the season off freaking hot, zero. He averages 18.5, 2 points per game in those other 4 games where he averages 8 games a target. Other than that, he's been injured and in and out of games, cracked ribs, bruised ribs, whatever you want to say. It's not his fault. It's not his fault. Let me repeat that. It's not his fault that he sucks this year. It's his. It's just he's hurt. And I don't like to take that and put it into, make it into their fantasy value. When they're healthy, he's great. How many players can make that touchdown catch where he caught the ball and was aware enough to put the ball over the goal line and actually get it done? Not many players can do that. There's a handful of them in the NFL, and T. Higgins is definitely one of them. I do want to say they are playing Pittsburgh. They do give up a lot of yardage to some, you know, they gave up 90 yards to Juju Smith-Schuster 2 weeks ago. Last week, they gave up 78 yards to Pittman before that illegal hit that took Pittman out of the game. Who knows what Pittman would have finished with? And when they played the Cardinals 3 weeks ago, they gave up a ton of yardage to Trey McBride, but nobody else, no receiver had more than 20 yards, which was pathetic. Pittsburgh could be had. I'm starting T. Higgins in this matchup. That was a long way for me to say it. I'm starting T. Higgins over Stephon Diggs, who, by the way, since week 10, is the wide receiver 48, averaging 9.5 points per game. Since week 10. That's a very big sample size.
He's been not good.
Considering weeks 1 through 9, he was wide receiver 3. Something changed.
Crazy, man.
Something changed. And it's the offensive coordinator. So, Higgins for me. Moving on. We got some running backs. We have Kenneth Walker just coming off of injury, his third game back, versus King Henry, who has been very mid the past couple games, let's be honest. Started with Justin last time. Dave, you get to finish it off with the running backs, or start it off with the running backs.
First of all, I need to know who's playing. Why? What happened to that stat to where we're supposed to know who they're playing against?
Kenneth Walker at Titans. Derrick Henry versus the Seahawks.
They're playing each other. It's right there, Dave. You can't see that?
Now, I just got updated, first of all. Don't act like it was there from the start. I'm starting Kenneth Walker. I don't want any part of that Titans offense, especially if Levis doesn't play. I guess that's going to go back to Tannehill, maybe. I don't know. They're bad. Titans aren't good at all. Kenneth Walker is a better player at this point. He gets, more targets. He just gets more points. Henry's either going to – honestly, the thing's going to – either Henry will have a really big game and he'll score 2 touchdowns, or he really won't do anything at all. And I don't want to – I don't want that guy in my lineup if I don't, have to.
No, I agree. He has been very touchdown dependent the past 5 weeks. He's got 6 touchdowns in the past 6 weeks. 3 of those games were the multi-touchdown games. He had 2, 2, 2, then 0, 0. So in the past 5 games, he's had 6. I don't know if I said 6 or 5. He's averaged 55.25 rushing yards per game in the last 4 games. Derrick Henry hasn't really been getting it done on the ground like he normally has. We're not seeing the angry runs. We're not seeing the efficient. Like, remember when we would like, oh man, is Henry going to get involved? Is 17 carries and 50 yards? What's going to happen? And all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, 70-yard run, 40-yard run. Remember those? Like, that was just last year. He's just not the same player as he was, and I don't mean that. Like, he's declining. Look, he's older, but I don't mean he's a terrible player. He still gets it done. He still scores touchdowns. He still gets it done on the goal line. But the fact of the matter is he's not having these breakaway run rates like he had in the past. Just last year, that's how much of a step he's lost. Kenneth Walker has been so underrated this year. When Charbonnet filled in, you really felt how important Ken Walker was. Charbonnet never topped 60 yards in a rushing game. He did it once, but 61. Whereas Kenneth Walker was doing that on the regular. He was doing that almost 8 times in 12 weeks. Kenneth Walker achieved 65 rushing yards or more. Charbonnet did it 0 times. Ken Walker is just a beast in this offense. He's had 56% snap share in the past 2 weeks. I want to see that get back up, because before the injury, he was sitting mid 65 to 70% snap share. That's what we want to see in this game against Tennessee. They need to win. Drew Lock has his team motivated. Dude, that game was so cool. I was a Drew Lock hater, but after that game, when Drew, Dave, everyone knows, Drew Lock kind of won me over. Like, wow, he's humbled. Wow, he's actually getting it. He's understanding his role and he's coming in, and this offense is buying into it. I would not be surprised if he's competing for the starting job next year in Seattle. I would not be surprised. That's all I'm going to say.
He's a backup. So you think he's a starter worthy and Baker Mayfield's a backup? You know what?
We don't say that name around here. Do not put that. Justin, in the short, do not even mention. Don't hashtag him.
I can't.
Don't.
With you.
Nothing. I don't want anything revolving around.
Drew Lock has one good throw. Literally, that's all he really did was have one good throw. And now, he's out there swinging his dick like what's the movie where the guy's a home run?
He targeted James Bradbury the entire drive. Every throw that drive was to James Bradbury.
And now Josh is like, I'm sold. Baker Mayfield's out here putting up a 158.3 pass rating, and Josh is like, he's a backup. But you know what? I can't with this guy. I can't. Next one.
Well, can I go? Dang.
Cut it out here.
Jeez.
I'm just talking about Josh's.
There's a couple things to monitor here. Geno Smith was a full participant today. So it's believed that the Seahawks will have Geno Smith back this week. Another thing today, Kenneth Walker did not do the walkthrough. He didn't participate in their team's walkthrough today because he has a shoulder injury now. So that's something to monitor whether or not he even plays. So this could be a, if you have these two and you have to pick one Sunday, it might be Derrick Henry, which is sad because I'd rather play Kenneth Walker the third here. If he's healthy, I'm taking KW3 because we talked about this on Tuesday. Derrick Henry's production is going down with them being eliminated from the playoffs. It might be Tyjae time. So I'd be very, very weary if I had Derrick Henry right now. But yeah, if Kenneth is healthy and is playing, I would start him for sure.
And Walker, I think we all matched up so far. This will be
except for Diggs.
Dave's still homering that.
Dave is still homering that. Yes.
When are you going to give that up? When are you going to say, hey, by the way, Ronald McDonald, he loves your headphones, Dave. Our most favorite.
Thanks, Ron. Viewer.
He's here every Wednesday night. Definitely drop a like if you like Dave's headphones. I think they're cool too. When did you get those?
I've had these for years and years and years. They're broken and busted, but I found them and I was like, you know what? Those might be perfect.
And they are perfect.
All right. And I will never give up on Diggs. I will love him forever.
You'll love him till the day you die.
That's it.
All right. So we have some tight ends to talk about. We have a backup who's been awesome, Isaiah Likely. And we have Dallas Goedert, who's been, I don't know how he's been because I don't roster him anywhere. And when I do roster him, in the little leagues I do have him, I don't want to play him because he's either hurt or he's like the fifth option on the team. So, Justin, I think I started with Dave last time. Where are we going? Isaiah Likely? Or are we going?
So, if you look at projections here, it looks like Goddard is going to have a better game, but Likely's been killing it. Goddard, even before his injury, was starting to only get 7 to 8 points. I don't know what's going on with that Eagles offense. They are not humming. Isaiah Likely, however, has scored 19 and 18 in the last 2 weeks since their bye week. I think Lamar has figured out how to get Likely the ball. That offense is clicking. That offense is going. Likely's getting it. They go up against San Francisco, though. That's the real tough part here. Whereas Dallas Goedert is going up against Giants at home after a three-game losing streak or something like that.
No, the Giants?
No, the Eagles. Game. The Eagles are on a three-game losing streak.
No.
Or listen, two-game losing.
Okay, listen, that might be right.
San Francisco, Dallas, Seattle. Okay.
Wait, they lost three in a row for real? Wow, I did not realize it was three in a row. I thought it was
they like lost to San Francisco, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they, because then they got smacked by Dallas, and then they got
beat. That's right, because they were like 9-1 or something. Dang, that's right.
Yeah, so they've been falling. I'm going to lean more towards Isaiah Likely because he's actually used more in that offense, whereas Goddard, again, fifth, sixth option on that team. You got A.J. Brown, you got Devonta Smith, you got all of their running backs that they choose to play instead of DeAndre Swift. They have DeAndre Swift. I mean, it's not looking good for Dallas. Goddard, not the Cowboys.
Man, we had such high hopes for Goddard. I know on the show for a very long time, since the beginning, me and Dave have always been Goddard guys. And Likely's come in and lit the world on fire. Who cares if they're playing San Fran, by the way? Trey McBride just balled out, just like I told y'all he would against San Fran. San Fran is not as scary in the secondary as everyone thinks they are. They can be had. Not too much. I'm not going crazy. I'm not calling them trash, guys, but I'm saying they can be had. And did not say that.
We're going to have San Francisco fans coming at us now.
Nope. No, we're not. But I will say this. Isaiah Likely, like you hit it on the head. He's coming off of a 6-target game in the week before 7, whereas Goddard, his last two games, he couldn't crack 5. He had 4 apiece. Goddard is not the number one option there. Likely is not the number one, but he's at least number 2, I would say. Oh. Then you have Keaton Mitchell going out, so there goes another weapon that they lost, which is the same thing I'm going to use with them Trey McBride situation from last week. When you're the last man standing, and he's not. They got Odell. They got Zay Flowers. They got weapons. But he's integrated in this offense. Whereas I feel like Goddard, when I was watching that game on Monday night, he was more of a safety blanket. It was like, oh, check down, check down. Oh, Goddard's open in the flats. If you guys watch the game, you know what I'm talking about. Most of his catches came at the line of scrimmage or like 5 yards from the line of scrimmage. It wasn't like they were actually scheming plays for him to get open. I didn't really understand that at all, especially in a game like that where it was rainy, cold. You know, you're not going to get the deep balls thrown like to the A.J. Browns like you normally do. Especially with someone like Jalen Hurts, who's struggling right now. that's another reason why I'm leaning towards Isaiah Likely. The Ravens seem to be humming. They seem to be getting things on track. Whereas you said, like we all just said, three games in a row, they're losing. They're not really in sync. I'm not going to trust a defense or an offense like Philadelphia right now when Isaiah Likely just fitting into this offense like a freaking glove. Perfect fit. I like everything Isaiah Likely is doing right now. I'm starting him easily this week over Dallas Goedert. Dave.
I agree with both of you. You guys pretty much nailed everything that I could have said. Goedert has, even before he got hurt, he wasn't great. Since he's been back, he hasn't been great. The Eagles are stumbling, like you said. I can't believe they only scored, 17 points or whatever Monday night. They're just, something's wrong, it seems like. I don't know what it is. I don't really care because I hate Philadelphia, so good. But all that being said, Likely's, getting the targets. He's a big part of the offense. He's scoring touchdowns. He's doing everything that you want. And, yeah, I don't care that he's playing in San Francisco. That doesn't bother me. Goddard could score two touchdowns and make us look dumb, but Likely's more likely to do that, in my opinion.
I agree. We have a question with Ronald McDonald real quick. Dave, he wants you to rate his lineup 1 to 10. We have quarterback Justin Fields, wide receiver Waddle, A.J. Brown, running back Swift, Mixon. I believe that's Derrick Henry. Tight end, yeah. Evan Engram, kicker McPherson, and defense Colts.
That's a solid 6.5, 7.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's not going to probably win it all. Swift has been blah lately. Trust me, I got him. Mixon, if he doesn't score a couple touchdowns, he's not really doing it. Henry, we already talked about him. Ingram is awesome. I don't care about your kicker and your defense. Fields has been up and down. Waddle's great when Tyreek's out, but when Tyreek's in there, he's kind of second fiddle. And he's had some big games, but he hasn't really been very consistent like I think we thought. And yeah, A.J. Brown's amazing. So I think it's a solid team. I think get hot and win some games, but it's probably maybe a 7. Not, like I said, not terrible, but you can get better.
It's one of those middle teams where you feel like you're going to be third place.
Yeah, honestly. But the thing is, you have a chance to win. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah,
you have a chance. You have no bums on your team.
Yeah, I don't think there's any scrubs on that lineup at all.
The only problem is I'm really afraid. We just talked about how we're afraid of Henry this week, especially in the past couple of weeks. And honestly, Dave nailed it on the head. When Tyreek's in, which has been the majority of the season, Waddle's been just such a disappointment. Waddle's been so, so disappointing this year. I expected better things, bigger things. Yeah. When we saw Tyreek was out last week, we saw Waddle run some Tyreek routes. We saw him do the whole crossing over the middle. He catches it. He does the Tyreek juke, running sideways still, trying to get through the edge. That's what Tyreek has been doing. And Waddle's not as fast. I don't know. I actually don't know. I don't know how fast.
Madden, Tyreek's a 99, and Waddle's a 97. So he's got him by a little bit.
Nobody plays Madden. But I will say
that's
this.
That's not true. If that was true,
I will say this about Waddle.
Waddle runs a 4.37.
I will say this about Waddle in touchdowns productions, man. It's so frustrating not rostering Raheem Mostert, but I roster Waddle and Hill everywhere. And when they get to the 5-yard line, they're just trying to get this touchdown. Mostert touchdown. It's so freaking annoying. It really is. They do all the work to get down there. Mostert just gets the touchdown.
Ridiculous. I love Mostert.
I do. I love him too, but I don't roster him anywhere. And it's killing me. That's all.
I made a trade for Mostert this year because I had for the name, specifically just for the name, because I had Bijan Robinson and I wanted Mostert so I could be Bijan Mostert. I've traded Bijan away, and I'm like, holy crap, Mostert for a third round pick was fantastic.
Man, he's been so good.
Yeah. We have a question in the chat. Waddle, Puka, or Pacheco? Rank them 1 to 3. So
for flex.
I think if Pacheco's in there, he's number. I want to go with Waddle. I want to put Waddle 1, but dude, I'll be honest. I looked at Pacheco's stats, and he's been so good. I don't have him in any leagues because I had no interest in him, and he was really, really good.
So annoying.
Probably Pacheco 1 if he's playing right now. Then Waddle and then Puka. I think that's just me.
I'm gonna go Waddle 1 just because he has that potential.
But I agree. I 100% understand what you're saying because I almost did the same thing.
Number one, did you guys see that clip yet of McDaniels? Waddle's going to score. What's going to be a one-play drive? Waddle's going to score. And then, of course, Waddle did it. Waddle has that it factor. I'm going to go Puka 2 because I always just rank receivers over running backs, and Pacheco 3. But I do like, God, Pacheco's been so good.
I don't know how you can't put Pacheco higher if he's.
I agree, but
look what Clyde Edwards-Helaire did last week, and then McKinnon the week before that. Right now, the running back in offense has been hot, so I understand that,
but Pacheco's not catching a ball where he has to jump 4 feet in the air to catch it with his hands high in the air, extended out. Like,
well, you don't know
Pacheco's
that.
Not that athletic. You sorry. Don't know that.
Okay, Mr. What do they call that score? What's that? What's that score? The RAS? Is it the RAS score?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
He's not a bigger. He's not good enough athlete for you.
I've been to the Senior Bowl once. I evaluated some talent. I hit on most of my players, but I don't know any of that stuff. I just watch ball. Hey, okay, read the comments. I don't know anything about football. I just know about fantasy football, which is a fantasy football show. And thank everyone for listening. If you're still here, we still have. Ben stands and turned on the TV. Yeah. Okay. Do you guys read that?
No idea.
What I have no call? Idea. But I do know this. Whenever he did call that, it was pretty fun. The damn play, Dave. We just referenced it. The whole.
Oh, I missed it.
He's going to score a touchdown. Anyway.
Sorry. I didn't see
Dave,
it.
Dave, you're tired. I can tell. But we're going to get on out of here, guys, because we do have a show coming up on Friday, Dynasty Friday. We're going to be breaking down running backs part two. Dave, I would love you on the Dynasty show because you are the best Dynasty player on the show, period. I'm not going to even sugarcoat it, but I know you're busy. You'll give some great insight. So please join us at noon. Everyone here that's watching along, everyone here, drop a like. Let us know you love us. Hey, if you disagreed with anything today, cool. We understand. Thank you for watching. Awesome.
I think I'm busy Friday, but I'll try. We'll see.
OUSFF Pod on YouTube, on Twitter, X, Instagram, TikToks, Justin Bowerly, Josh Kimmel. Dave Campbell, we're out, guys. Peace out.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to like and subscribe wherever you watch or listen to podcasts. Follow on X and Instagram at OUSFFPOD. We'll be back next week for more ways to win your league.